I listen with my mom all the time.
Because it's fun.
I love it.
This is UK Talk Radio with the music you love and the chat you enjoy.
I listen with my mom all the time.
Because it's fun.
I love it.
Right now on UK Talk Radio, we're talking success. We're talking about a short story which is called The Wall Isn't a Circle, and it's written by two sisters. They are Alice and Rose, and they've beaten thousands of others to be included in the L. Ron Hubbard Presents Writers of the Future Volume 40. This is a fantastic story, which I really enjoyed. It's about an app that lets users see through the eyes of any human in history. Now, there's a fantastically tantalizing idea. Now, what I also liked is the main characters are sisters. We see one sister more than the other. There's definitely a lot of conflict and turmoil going on within the mind of one of the sisters. So you are both sisters. How does that work when you actually come to writing a story together?
So it really varies. So it's been a lot of trial and error as we've kind of developed our process as we've gone. Sometimes we literally kind of take it in turns. We do a lot of video calling because we live quite far away. So we live about 6 hours away from each other. So sometimes we'll literally sit screen sharing and literally work on the same document, editing kind of alternate sentences. And sometimes we'll have one of us go away and work on it, and then the other one kind of essentially rip it to pieces and start again. So yeah, it's really varied. I don't know, Alice, if you've got anything to add.
Yeah, I think it helps that we have really similar brains, so we can kind of pass things back and forwards between us, and we don't tend to have too many disagreements about where we're going with something. We'll quite often realize we sort of got the same idea in our head, so I think that helps quite a lot.
And the interesting thing is the two main characters, or one we see more than the other, are actually sisters in your story. So tell us a little bit about how that came about, because they are in conflict, but I'm assuming that obviously that makes a good story, but I'm assuming that you obviously don't spend a lot of time yourselves in conflict.
I mean, it's not like we never argue. I don't know that it really occurred to us to have that central relationship as being anything other than sisters. I don't know, Rose, if you've got anything to add.
Yeah, I think it was obviously quite important to us that our main character had personal relationships that could be more easily fixed if you could see through the eyes of that other person,
yes.
As often conflicts between close relations are, that if you could literally just drop into their head, you would understand them a lot better in terms of where they're coming from. And I think with the two sisters and their kind of disagreements in their past, it could be quite easily fixed through the kind of technology in the story. So I think that made it quite a good personal journey to kind of focus on within the context of the science fiction sort of element of the story, I think.
And what I liked initially, so when the main characters, there's the big kind of meeting going on, and we see the Titanic and all the smoke is coming out from it, and they're talking about time travel. And my first thought was, oh, they're going to go back on the Titanic. But it's a much better twist. That would have been predictable. So what I like is that you added a different twist, as you've just mentioned, about obviously we can see through the eyes of other people. So set the story up, but obviously don't give us too many spoilers, but just set up the beginning for us.
It's set in London in the not too distant kind of future, and it focuses around our main character, Macy, who is a trainee lawyer, and she's been tasked with taking on a quite notorious tech company who have a lot of kind of scandals and things in the past. They're not very trustworthy, and the technology that they produce isn't very trustworthy, and they've just produced a new application that enables the user to look through the eyes of anybody in history. So it's a really exciting new kind of bit of technology. It's the potential to virtually time travel, but there's that awareness that the company who has invented it is maybe not up to any good kind of thing.
And it's kind of quite frightening, is it? Because you can actually see through the eyes of somebody else. So you can actually see what they're doing, what they're feeling. That's quite powerful. And especially in an age now where people are worried about talking about AI and the implications. So you've tapped into something which is very current and uppermost in most people's thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's something we were aware of when we started writing with it, was that it fed into all these fears that we have about social media and what information social media companies are holding on us and what they're doing with it. And that was, those kind of fears were something that we tried to weave into the story.
And the book itself, so you're in volume 40 of Writers of the Future, so no easy thing to actually get that far. So tell us a little bit about the competition and how you first took part in it.
Yeah, so when we first started writing together, quite a few years ago, we briefly lived together in Manchester, and it was whilst we were living together that we decided to start trying to write a book together. But I think we made the mistake that a lot of kind of new writers starting out make, which is that we didn't spend an awful lot of time actually writing, and we spent quite a lot of time planning and plotting and just generally not really improving our ability to tell a story from start to finish. And then we came across the Writers of the Future contest, and because it runs four times a year, so there's those four opportunities to finish something, send it in, and then see how it does. As soon as we started taking part and started actually finishing things, we found that we started improving a lot quicker because we had that motivation, that deadline to actually make us kind of commit to, right, this is going to be the story and this is going to be where it ends. And then it went from there. We just started improving and using that as a motivational tool. And that's how we ended up, repeatedly entering and then eventually winning as well.
So has this inspired you now to launch out and obviously write more stories, get more stories published? Because having a story published, especially in a book like this, I mean, must be incredible.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing feeling to see the words that we've written actually in print in a real book that we can put on the shelf is incredible. So, yeah, I think we're definitely chasing that high again, and we'd really like to have more stuff published. Working on various short stories at the moment, and then I think the ultimate dream is to write a full novel, now that we kind of feel like we've got a better idea about how to kind of plot those stories out and how to develop the characters. I think we feel a lot more equipped now to hopefully write something.
Well, it's a very well-written story. I mean, there's obviously the contemporary plots, but also the characters. What I found is I really kind of got into the characters themselves. They were real people. They felt like real people. So you've managed to do the two things together. Nice story, but also believable characters.
Yeah, I think it was important that, particularly for the main character, Macy, that she was somebody who was relatable in terms of how she feels the pressures of other people looking at her, because obviously one of the key themes in the story is how we kind of change our behavior or are more conscious of our behavior when other people can see every aspect of our lives. So I think it was quite important that Macy was somebody who felt a lot of that pressure, and in particular she feels a lot of pressure from her parents. She feels a lot of pressure from how society considers how successful she is. And I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to in terms of that pressure that they feel.
And for Writers of the Future, is there any kind of a ceremony? So you've obviously in the book, anything else still in store before you move on to the next stage?
So while we were in LA, there was an award ceremony that Writers of the Future put on, which was incredible and very glamorous and a bit overwhelming with a big stage and speeches and trophies. But it was an amazing experience. So yeah, I think that's other than enjoying seeing everybody read the book and getting to talk to people about it. And there isn't anything else I don't think that we're doing with Writers of the Future now, but it's been an amazing experience. And they all really nice, all keeping in touch as well, which is really good.
And it's a fantastic launching pad, isn't it? And that ceremony sounds absolutely fantastic. And as new writers, that whole experience must have been fantastic. So what's the next immediate step, Nick? You mentioned a book at some stage. So short stories you're working on next, or a book. Well, what's your immediate sort of plans for the moment?
So immediately we are trying to write more short stories, but we're also working on the novel in the background. It's been very, very early stages. One of the challenges, we kind of mentioned a bit about disagreements and things. One of the challenges that we sometimes have is agreeing on what we're both passionate about. And obviously, yeah, unless you're both passionate about something, then you're not going to finish it. So I think that's the initial challenge that we've faced when trying to commit to a novel, considering the amount of time and effort that we're going to have to put in, making sure that it's something that we're both genuinely really passionate about and want to finish. So yeah, it's kind of balancing those two, trying to get more short stories written so we've kind of got that rolling kind of rolling number of stories out there, but then also making sure we're not ignoring that longer term dream that we have of wanting to actually finish a novel as well.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. We've been talking to Alison Rose. We've been talking about their fantastic short story, which is called The Wall Isn't a Circle. I wish you all the best with your future endeavours, and do press ahead with that longer novel. I'm sure that will go down very well. And once again, The Wall Isn't a Circle can be found in the L. Ron Hubbard Presents Writers of the Future Volume 40, together with a whole load more fantastic fantasy and sci-fi stories.